The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
I shouldn't tell you this, but Eric hired someone who sounds just like him to host today's show. But since I'm the announcer, they told me. So I am telling you, don't be fooled.
The real Eric's in jail.
And welcome.
You know, I don't know why I put up with it. I really don't. But I don't have time to think about why I don't put up with why I put up with it. I love to talk about a lot of things. That's why this is the show about everything. One of the things about which I love to talk is history. As you know, I've written some books of history, and I'm sitting here in the studio. Yes, in the studio with the authors of a new book, The Problem of Democracy. I believe they are monarchists, and we're going to find out in a second. The Problem of Democracy has been written by a husband and wife writing team. Nancy Eisenberg and Andrew Burstein, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you.
Hello.
Do you cringe at being described as a husband and wife writing team? Is there something about that that rubs you the wrong way?
Well, we
be honest.
We refer to ourselves as partners generally.
Right.
We were partners for a long time before we married,
Well, we also have published books separately, so,
yeah.
But we, we have a common passion. We have a common passion.
That's a good read. You see, I could sort of intuit that in saying that, it may lead people astray. You're quite right. You've written books individually, so you're not really a husband and wife writing team. Mm-hmm. You sometimes team up as husband and wife to create a single book. You've done that a couple of times. This book... It's a large book, but I write large books, so I'm already a fan. It has a provocative title, The Problem of Democracy, and then the subtitle, The President's Atoms Confront the Cult of Personality. First of all, whoever gets to say The President's Atoms, and then who dares to put it in a title but the two of you?
We practiced that for a while.
The President's Atoms. It really seems like you have to practice it, otherwise it just feels wrong coming out.
Well, you know, as we were conceiving and writing the book, we naturally fell into what the President's Bush do.
The President's Bush.
Yeah.
Are we going to start talking about the President's Harrison in a couple of minutes? Huh? The President's Roosevelt?
They, referred to one another as 41 and 43.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we refer to them as 2 and 6. John Quincy Adams, it's a mouthful. And so he became for us Johnny Q.
I was just going to say, yeah. that makes sense. He'd be Q. And from Texas, he'd just be Q. Okay, The Problem of Democracy, it sounds to me that you are both ostensibly fans of Republican democracy, but in the book you're identifying a specific problem which the Adamses, 2 and 6, themselves identified very early on in the Republic. So my first question has to be, what led you to this? Because it's a rather specific thing to write about. And what was it that led you to this? Now, you're both, forgive me, professors at University of
LSU, Louisiana State University.
Okay. So what was it that led you to this specific subject?
Well, we first decided to do this project because the other book we had co-authored was Madison and Jefferson. And what we're interested in is, first of all, to take up a subject that other people have ignored. And what's surprising, even though a lot has been written about John Adams as a singular figure, and recently there have been biographies of John Quincy Adams, and there have been studies that look at John Adams and Abigail Adams, no one had really decided to study the father and the son.
But before you get into that, what was it that led you to write about Madison and Jefferson together in a book?
Well, it was a political partnership that lasted half a century, 50 years.
And they died?
You think Adams and Jefferson?
Yeah, they died on the same day.
Yeah. Madison was the last of the framers of the Constitution to die. He lived until 1836. So,
what?
He was 85 years old.
Madison lived to 1836?
Yeah, he was 85 years old, which was really
another, like, 4 or 5 years, and we could have a daguerreotype image of him.
Yeah,
doesn't it just burn you up?
Yeah.
Okay, so I get that, and that led you, of course, to this, because you say that part of what they saw in their lifetime was these cults of personality forming around some of these founding figures.
Right. Well, I mean, the other thing we wanted to do is that, you know, historians often get trapped because they focus on one period. You know, we talk about someone who writes on the early Republic or someone who writes on the antebellum period. By studying them together, we can actually see both the transition, what did change or what didn't change, as you're highlighting, the fact that they focused on the cult of celebrity or the cult of personality that was forming around from Adam's perspective, the first person he saw developing around was Benjamin Franklin in France, who became America's first rock star in France, literally. And then he saw the same thing developing around Washington with John Quincy Adams, clearly the main figure was Andrew Jackson. So what we wanted to do is it's not just political theory. It's getting up close and personal, because these are two people who were there in the belly of the beast. They were, you know, across the board. They were diplomats. They were in Congress. They were presidents. So they are kind of experts to be observers and commentators.
Also, they were two men with a particular sense of history, it seems.
Very much so.
Yeah.
They read voraciously the common library, the library that they shared. They collected books in various languages. They were, one of the chapters is called Wanderers. They saw more of the world than anyone else in the founding era pantheon. They were diplomats in Europe. In fact, John Quincy Adams became the minister, we didn't have ambassadors at that time, minister to the Netherlands in 1795. George Washington appointed him. His father had been minister to the Netherlands at the time of the American Revolution.
And we know that during the Revolution, the punk kid, John Quincy Adams, was involved at age 14 doing I'm not sure what, but he was such a genius, I'm sure he was able to do something.
He was the French translator for America's first diplomat to Catherine the Great
at
in St. Petersburg, 14.
14, yeah. Young people, you need to step up your game, just saying.
And some of the books that he purchased were in Dutch.
That's an outrage. Don't purchase a Dutch book. Can't stand the Dutch. Don't bring them up again.
They would read Cicero in the original Latin.
Well, of course.
They would read him in Dutch and German.
That's absurd.
I know.
Yeah. It's Cicero in Dutch. That's like a bad play that I want to write someday. Cicero in Dutch. In Dutch with his creditors, with his wives. All right, so you're talking about two extraordinary men, and you say that they confront the cult of personality. Most of us know, I guess, that Franklin was celebrated as, I can't remember the phrase, but I love the phrase about the man who what, grasped lightning, I can't remember, bottled lightning or something. It's just, he really was a celebrity, and I think he loved it.
Oh, he surely did. Mm-hmm. And he loved the women who loved it, too.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, there's a very famous painting of him surrounded by all these admiring women.
Yeah.
And John Adams referred to him as the old conjurer. He didn't like Benjamin Franklin at all. He thought he was not just past his prime, but also someone who had been hyped for many years. And sure, he was a great amateur scientist. And Adams was, you know, willing to give him his due, but he thought he'd slowed down, and was not at all effective, and was a pawn of the French minister at the time of the negotiations that brought us to the Treaty of Paris and American independence in 1783. So John Adams felt that he needed to be there to counteract Benjamin Franklin.
It's so fascinating to have this history brought to life this way just now. I mean, that I care about this suddenly. It's like current events. But we can't go back. We'll be right back, folks, talking to not the President's Adams, but Nancy Eisenberg and Andrew Burstein. Stick around.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone, plus an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word GUTS to 60 60 60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text GUTS to 60 60 60. Text GUTS to 60 60 60.
Morning Bullets is asking for the public to respond to a nationwide poll that could help shape political policy in 2020. This is your chance to be heard by the decision makers all the way up the chain. Their question: should the federal government provide free health care to illegal immigrants? Yes or no? Visit TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com to let your voice be heard before the decisions are made for you. Medical services are guaranteed by the Emergency Treatment and Active Labor Act and require hospitals to provide care regardless of citizenship, legal status, or ability to pay. The Federation for American Immigration Reform reported that medical expenditures for illegal immigrants was over $17 billion in 2017 alone. The decision is up for debate, and the policymakers want to hear what the public thinks. Should the federal government provide free health care to illegal immigrants? Yes or no? Go to TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com now to vote. That's TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com. TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com. Be heard.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to the authors of a brand new book, The Problem of Democracy, The President's Adams. I think you know which presidents we're talking about. Confront the Cult of Personality. Okay, when you say the problem of democracy, how is it that it seems to be that you're implying that inherent in the kind of self-government and Republican democracy that we have is this problem of cults of personality. Is that true?
That's part of it. The problem of democracy begins with the understanding that there never was a golden age of democracy. We tell a mythical story that historians need to revisit and seek truth from, and that is how our the founding generation was lionized, was called the greatest generation before the World War II generation came about. And they foresaw problems with democracy because in their world, to be called a Democrat was almost like being called an anarchist. It was associated with mobocracy and came to be associated with the terror of the French Revolution. So the Adamses were coming of age politically at a time when democracy either referred to the small city-state of ancient Greece or, for them, contemporarily, it was something to be afraid of, because when the people were in charge without an effective balance, such as the three branches of government we have now, then you would have ignorance supplanting knowledge and good information.
I only know a little bit about this. I wrote a biography of William Wilberforce, and I was right. Fascinated to see how his ability to get the law passed against the slave trade was largely made difficult by the feelings of many Englishmen toward what was happening in France, toward this idea of any kind of liberalization, move away from monarchy. And because I know how difficult it was for the Americans to govern between 1783 and 1787, you begin to appreciate how fragile democracy is, how fragile it is to get it just right. And it's hard to imagine putting ourselves in the shoes of somebody like a John Adams, the guy who actually was tasked with figuring this out. How do we balance this? How do we not become mob rule? How do we not go the way of the French? So I would guess, yes, he would have been very keenly aware of how we could go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to think about is that, as we know, according to the Constitution, the government is set up as a republic. And the democratic branch was Congress. And this is one of the interesting things. Both John Adams and John Quincy Adams felt you had to really have a real democratic branch, and they didn't want the democratic branch as today to be filled with millionaires or people of the same class background as people who were in the Senate.
Wait, did they think then, were they thinking along the lines of the House of Lords and the other house in Parliament?
Yeah, Commons. There's some similarity, but yeah. They meant the House of Representatives as the one body that represented the democracy, because there was a direct vote for your local congressman.
But I'm still saying they had to be thinking of the House of Commons and the House of Lords. There's this patrician class that has terms of 6 years, and then there's this other class that kind of comes in and out. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, no, the Republic, I mean, again, if you think about what were the founders reading, they were reading the classics, but they were also very much borrowing from the English style of government. They didn't just jettison all of that. But I think the other thing that they thought was important that we've lost touch with is that John Adams was a defender of the town meeting. He believed that everyone from infancy, that's his words, needed to be trained to debate, deliberate, and articulate their views to their representatives. So you needed to have local knowledge, and you needed to have people to be an informed citizenry, and they had to be educated from, and in Massachusetts, they did provide public education.
You simply wouldn't know. But this is a big issue for me because I think we've ceased to do that in the last 50 or so years in America, particularly. Not that we ever did it perfectly well, but you can't have what we're supposed to have without some form of that.
Right. The flow of information back and forth between elected representatives and their constituents, and the town meeting for John Adams, and also his son was schooled in this, even though he grew up in Europe. When he came back to attend Harvard, it was at the time that the Constitutional Convention was going on. So he was steeped in both of them, of course, but young John Quincy, steeped in this conversation about what kind of government we would have.
But John Quincy Adams is amazing because after he doesn't get reelected as president, he does something that no one else has ever done. Then he gets elected to Congress, and he stays in Congress from 1830 till the day he dies in 1848. So he was in the thick of it. I mean, he basically, you know, returned to Congress, and he was scrappy. He wasn't old man eloquent when he was in
Congress. He was in the House or in the Senate?
He was first in the Senate when Jefferson was president. And then, and this is why John F. Kennedy wrote in Profiles of Courage about John Quincy Adams, because he abandoned the Federalist Party, the party of his father, and came aboard with Jefferson and Madison as Secretary of State. And doing that was an act of political courage, an act of moral courage that distinguished John Quincy Adams. So he was a senator who wrote himself out of representing Massachusetts, which was virulently anti-Jefferson, anti-Madison. And then after he was president, well, he was Secretary of State under James Monroe for 8 years, succeeded him as president. And after he lost to Andrew Jackson in 1828, he turned around and went back into the House of Representatives and felt that his election to the House, the Democratic House, was the most satisfying election he had, more satisfying than when he was elected president.
That is pretty extraordinary because you have to have a lot of self-confidence to go from being president to being a member of the House. I don't think we have contemporary presidents have that kind of self-confidence, but obviously he did. The whole thing is fascinating to me, to think of this founding generation and how they had to really work this out. So, but getting to the thesis, the problem of democracy, how does a cult of personality somehow fundamentally arise out of what we call American-style self-government?
Well, one of the things, and this is, again, John Adams and his classical studies, is that when he talked about, they focus on psychology. So they said that every human being has a desire for fame, and that one of the things that the cult of celebrity reflected is that he was looking about how aristocracies behaved, both in Europe and in history. And he recognized that some people will work hard to be on the stage. Politics was a stage. Some people would not be in the limelight. But, and this is his word, he said that people would want to vicariously live through their idols. And that dynamic, what's important about them is they say this can happen in any government. It's not unique to monarchies. It's not unique to aristocracies. But that natural impulse for fame and the natural impulse for people who feel a special sympathy, as he said, for the elite, and that dynamic, I think, is what he identified.
That's fascinating.
That people want to belong in the same way that the two-party system hardened, and it did right away.
Yeah.
In the early 1790s. there was this...
Which is, by the way, very interesting when you look at Europe. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've always grown up with two parties, right? You can't even imagine anything other than that. And then to think that Europe has never had that, they don't have it today. Mm-hmm. How did it happen here and not there?
The tendency to belong, to want to identify with something bigger than yourself and someone bigger than yourself. So George Washington is portrayed, I mean, literally, when he dies, the famous engraving that many people had in their homes has him going to heaven.
The apotheosis of George. That is like...
And so when Adams and Jefferson both died on the same day, the 50th, 4th of the July, the newspapers celebrated this providential event because, you know, it was a mathematical near impossibility. So... there is this elevation of the founding generation by their children, by the succeeding generation, to make America immortal.
Right.
And so by investing the founders with a kind of quasi, a spiritual status was a way of feeding the idea that America was special.
Right.
Because Americans felt that they were... the poor younger sibling of the Europeans.
Sure.
And most of the newspapers in America focused as much, if not more, on European events than on American
Hang on
events.
1 second. We're going to go to a break. We're going to be right back with the authors of The Problem of Democracy. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta has spoken to reporters and defended his handling of the sex trafficking case of billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein in 2008. He said he tried to avoid a state of Florida deal, which would have, in his assessment, allowed Epstein to walk free. Acosta is a former federal prosecutor in South Florida. He says he continues to have a good relationship with President Trump. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell signaling that interest rate cuts could be coming. Analysts say that is an indication the rates could be lowered for the first time in a decade, possibly as soon as this month. The UK Foreign Office says Britain's ambassador to the United States, Kim DeRock, has resigned after diplomatic cables criticizing President Trump were leaked. On Wall Street, stocks remain higher. The Dow ahead 74 points. The NASDAQ is up 53. This is SRN News.
Following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-6 671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Summer is here, and so are the bugs and other pests. Don't let your home or business be overrun this season with unwanted intruders. Forget about throwing your money away on those harmful toxic chemicals. This season, plug in pest free. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug In Pest Free. This summer, turn your house wiring into a hostile environment for rodents and other unwanted pests, effectively driving them out the safe, humane way without the use of toxic chemicals. Designed to last for years, it will save you a ton of money. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest-Free Pro, covers up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. The Pro comes with a 20% discount when you use promo code RADIO20. That's promo code RADIO20 for 20% off. Order yours online today at gopestfree.com. That's gopestfree.com. Promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget.
Keep sailing, pal, because we're going to be talking over here. I like sticks, but this is very important. We're talking about some of the most important stuff there is. The Problem of Democracy is the book. I'm sitting with the authors Nancy Eisenberg and Andrew Burstein. Okay, so you're talking about the danger, in a way, of making mythic heroes of some of our leaders with feet of clay. But let me push back on that for a second, because I think it serves an important purpose. So I think the only question is, how far does one push it, or what is the context? Because I think it's important for a little kid to look at a picture of Washington and say, like, I could grow up to be George Washington. And I feel like we've done less of that. And since the 60s, we've got anti-heroes, and we kind of focus on how, yeah, everybody was a jerk, so you don't want to be like it. But kids need to know, to what shall I aspire? And, you know, if you can't aspire to be like Lincoln, I think Lincoln was, you know, somebody to whom people might want to aspire, and he may not have been perfect. So where does that go wrong, I guess, is my question.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that John Adams had to deal with, because what we forget is that when the federal government is first instituted, and even when Washington is president, he was concerned that most Americans were still more attached to their state governments than they were to the federal government.
Right.
So what he wanted is he didn't deny the fact that you are going to have ambition, or deny the fact that people need to be respected in office.
Right.
But he believed you needed balance. You don't only want it to be, the shiny image that captivates people. You also needed people who had expertise. You needed people who deserved to be in office because of their service. So I think he was very realistic about that.
But he's a bit of a patrician in that sense.
No,
well,
actually,
he's not.
Yeah, this is one of the things that no one has really understood about John Adams or John Quincy. They were associated with that mindset because of the amount of time they spent in Europe.
Right.
But they were actually—
And in office, I mean, especially John Quincy Adams, you know, he becomes like a professional, hero,
a professional politician. Yeah.
But they lived modestly. They worked their own farm. Yes, they had help, but they worked their own small farm in outside of Boston, in Quincy.
Braintree, Quincy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what their political enemies attached to them,
okay,
this love of aristocracy. And it was a misreading, a willful misreading of who they were and what they believed in. When you write books, you'll know this, people can attack you for something between the lines, something on page 312.
Especially if your books are nearly perfect, as mine are. They have no choice but to attack you for something you did in a previous life or something.
And both of them, John Adams especially, wrote extensively. At the time, he was in England as America's first ambassador or minister to England, and as vice president. And these were history and politics and political theory. And it was about what kind of government actually functioned well, and that Americans should be aware of that. But they looked at his study of aristocratic or monarchical government and said, oh, he likes this stuff because it's there. You know?
Although I need to mention Cincinnatus and his plow, because it strikes me that that's kind of what we're talking about. That if you have people that come from the outside in and they govern, that is healthy American democracy, and it's not meant to be a class of elites. Although, as the Adams has said, we need to balance that. We don't want Joe Blow running the country, but at the same time, we don't want professional politicians. We don't want a ruling class in that sense. That does seem to have gone away today, and it bothers me. Even what anyone thinks of Donald Trump, the idea that he comes from the world of business to be president strikes me as profoundly American. And I didn't hear any journalists mention Cincinnatus in the election of Trump.
The Adamses, one thing that was always said about them was that they were extremely honest. And even when they were attacked, part of what their problem was candor. That they said things, they behaved, their temperament was such that, Benjamin Franklin famously remarked to more than one individual that John Adams was crazy. John Quincy Adams, you know, a cold fish, kind of the opposite. But both of them were regarded as people. Well, in John Quincy's case, it was nepotism.
Right, of course.
That was unfair.
Yeah, yeah.
And in John Adams's case, he was the outlier because his temperament was such that he couldn't be trusted, that this is what Alexander Hamilton had to say about him.
I didn't know that Adams was – I didn't watch the miniseries, right? So, but I didn't know that he had that idea attached to him, that he was sort of –
Well, in the miniseries, he looks angry all the time. And the greater problem is at times he appeared to be vain. And that's where I think the patrician kind of attack comes from. But one of the things that we like to highlight is that when he's vice president, I mean, we think about the nasty environment of politics today. Well, he got a nickname from the senators, his nickname was his rotundity. So, again, it was attacking him.
At least that's clever. I like that. I think if Trump would insult his enemies with that kind of thing, we're going to be right back talking about the problem of democracy. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I take it all the time.
I know you do.
A lot of people take it. Half the media are talking about it. But on this program, instead of me talking about it, how about if we could get somebody else to talk about it? Somebody, for example, named Finetta.
Oh.
Over the years, as I got older, I noticed pain in my hips, and it got worse and worse. Trying to walk upstairs, it was so miserable. That morning, I heard about Relief Factor. I ordered it right then. Within 3 weeks, I was free of pain.
That's what everybody says. You try it within three. If it's not helped you within 3 weeks, I wouldn't use it. But most people are helped by it. It's all natural botanicals. You could take it all day long. It's just not the kind of thing you have to worry about, like Advil or something. Well, you know, you don't want to take that stuff regularly. So go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. It has helped me. It has helped a ton of people. I highly recommend it. I beg my relatives to take it. Relieffactor.com.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to go, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-5387. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in bathroom trips, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-257-5387. 1-800-257-5387. 1-800-257-5387.
Morning Bullets is asking for the public to respond to a nationwide poll that could help shape political policy in 2020. This is your chance to be heard by the decision makers all the way up the chain. Their question: should the federal government provide free health care to illegal immigrants? Yes or no? Visit TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com to let your voice be heard before the decisions are made for you. Medical services are guaranteed by the Emergency Treatment and Active Labor Act and require hospitals to provide care regardless of citizenship, legal status, or ability to pay. The Federation for American Immigration Reform reported that medical expenditures for illegal immigrants was over $17 billion in 2017 alone. The decision is up for debate, and the policymakers want to hear what the public thinks. Should the federal government provide free health care to illegal immigrants? Yes or no? Go to TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com now to vote. That's TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com. TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com. Be heard.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway.
Hey folks, that's Glenn Campbell. I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm sitting here with Nancy Eisenberg and Andrew Burstein, who've written this book, The Problem of Democracy. Fascinating, rich subject. I actually wish we had much more time. When I think of Washington, I think of someone who, being the first president, had to establish the precedent of how a president acts. And he was very self-conscious about it in that classic Washingtonian way, almost like the weight of history on me, on how I dress, on how I address my guests, on the shape of the room. Let it be oval so that there's no hierarchy implicit in the architecture, and on and on and on and on. But he had a real sense that the presidency had to strike a balance. But he did. Part of that balance was respect for the office. I'm not just another guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not, Harry Truman taking a walk around the block. This is something beyond itself. Was that something the Adamses criticized?
John Adams, as vice president, got into a lot of trouble in the Senate of the United States for recommending that more distinction should be bestowed upon the President of the United States. Let's not call him simply Mr. President, but His Excellency, et cetera,
yes,
et cetera. And this is another one of the reasons why the Adamses, as if the son inherited from his father.
Right.
Yeah. But, so many things were different then. The nastiness is the same as today. But what was different was that people didn't go into electoral politics for the money. There was no money in politics. And that's why they didn't
stay. Well, there's no money actually in politics. There's money in everything ancillary to politics.
Yeah, ancillary. Okay. But one of the reasons why – and lawyers didn't make a whole lot of money back then. So they had to go back to practice law back home. And they didn't stay in Congress, for most of them, for very long, or even live in Washington, D.C., because it was a swamp.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons Alexander Hamilton –
It was a literal swamp,
yeah,
as opposed to the metaphorical swamp it's become.
I was gonna say, that's the reason Alexander Hamilton stepped down from Secretary of the Treasury. It wasn't the scandal, actually. It was that he had to go back and earn a living.
Make a buck.
But the point you're saying about Washington, I think, is important, that he was very self-conscious. And it highlights what Adams was getting at, is that there's a performative side. Performance mattered. And one of the things that Washington also had going for him was his elite breeding. So he knew how to strike the right tone. He knew how to make the right gestures. And this is, again, where our presidency was borrowing certain trappings of monarchy in terms of, that Washington was living in an elegant mansion, that he rode around in a lavishly equipped carriage.
Celebrating his birthday.
Yeah, just like the King of England, making that a national holiday, going on national tours. But all of these things were about – part of it was sort of making people say, well, the federal government is here, so at least pay attention to it. But also, you're exactly right. He was setting precedents about – how the office needed to be respected.
But also, the federal government, and this sounds crazy, but obviously in those days it needed shoring up. It was weak and tiny, and one of the dangers obviously was that the whole thing could fall apart, and so that's why they created the Constitution.
Washington was himself actually a bit pessimistic about how long the Constitution, federal Constitution, would remain in effect. He thought it might not last till 1800. So, yeah, it was all thought of as an experiment. And when the two opposing parties formed right away, there was already, you know, sort of a fear of the death knell of the Union.
Wow. Okay, well, since we only have a few minutes left, horrifying to say, what was it that they attacked specifically about the cult of personality? Whom did they attack as guilty of this?
Well, they saw it emerging, as I said, around Benjamin Franklin in France. They saw it emerging again around Washington. But it's really important. I think what's really interesting is that John Quincy Adams really sees this emerging around Andrew Jackson, because Andrew Jackson, he's the first candidate to have a campaign biography. He had very little political experience. He is marketed in a way that becomes part of the Democratic tradition, the idea of drilling party regulars, the idea of rewarding
people
in the party.
Was he a seventh president?
Yeah. And, curiously or importantly, he was the second general. So General Washington, General Jackson, there was an aura about him because of battlefield heroics.
Right.
And one of the curious things, if we think of the broad scope of our history, how people like Dwight Eisenhower, Ulysses S. Grant, without a political personality prior to the war, suddenly become the darling of the nation. You know, this is also a kind of a cult of personality.
Well, I'm still not clear how that militates against democracy or arises intrinsically out of democracy.
Well, what they saw, I mean, going back to John Adams, what he saw is that democracy put on a great show, and that's even more true by the time of Jackson. The idea that you keep the populace entertained, that they stay focused on the celebrity, you market the personality, as with Andrew Jackson. But behind the scenes, this is what John Quincy Adams said, the power is lodged elsewhere, and both of them were afraid that it was oligarchy, that it was these powerful aristocracies that often were connected to party interests that were pushing forward their agenda. So it's like, watch the celebrity over here. And in Jackson's case, he was not a true Democrat. He wasn't someone who pushed Democratic policies. And in fact, when he's in office, the main issue was Western expansion, the expansion of slavery, which benefited the planter aristocracy. So this is the point that they see as dangerous.
So he really was guilty of what they were accusing him of.
Yeah,
the
cult around Andrew Jackson certainly was that. What the Adamses stood for most was problem solving, that this was the dimension of government. Why was a republic going to work? Why was balanced government, separation of powers, going to work? Because an informed citizenry would put pressure on elected representatives to conduct the government.
To do the right thing.
To do the right thing. Yeah, to speak for the majority, not for special interests.
Right. This is funny because it says echoes today almost. It sure does. It's amazing. We'll be right back. Final segment. The book is The Problem of Democracy. The authors, Nancy Eisenberg and Andrew Burstein. We'll be right back.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogasuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogasuds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogasuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Speaking to reporters, Labor Secretary Alex Acosta says that his office acted appropriately when it came to the secret plea agreement with Jeffrey Epstein a decade ago in a molestation case.
The goal here was straightforward. Put Epstein behind bars, ensured he registered as a sexual offender, provide victims with the means to seek restitution, and protect the public by putting them on notice that a sexual predator was in their midst.
At that time, Mr. Acosta was a federal prosecutor in Florida. As to the criticism which he has currently faced,
these were the judgments that were made. I understand that individuals will look at these judgments and say, well, maybe a different judgment should have been made.
Mr. Acosta would not comment on new litigations. However, he encouraged victims to come forward. On Wall Street, the Dow had 75 points, the NASDAQ up 61. This is SRN News.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The three-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Baseball season is in full swing.
Popcorn. Get your popcorn.
It's a good thing Matt secured his denture with Super PolyGrip. Now he can enjoy the snacks as much as the game.
PolyGrip.
Hey, how are you? So great to see you.
It's that time of year when the family meets up.
Hi, come on. Get together, guys. Family photo.
It's a good thing Jack cleans his denture with Polident so he can enjoy the whole day with confidence.
Polydent.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun talking to the authors of The Problem of Democracy, The President's Atoms Confront the Cult of Personality. It's pretty rare that academics write, how shall I put this, in a way that is, I'm looking for the opposite of specific, but I don't just mean broadly. But the fact that you're talking about two different eras, as you said earlier, and you're combining them or whatever, it's kind of like cross-disciplinary or interdisciplinary on some level. And I think not enough academic work is done like that, because it seems to be rewarded the more specific you are. Is that something you think about?
Well, our subjects cared about what they read, and we like to read what they read, and we read a lot of fiction that they read. And, certainly the narrative matters a lot to us, because we want to reach beyond the academy. We have, each of us, written books such as that grew from our dissertations, that were designed for academics. But, we think that historians have a lot to say to a lot of people, and it's good for democracy.
And one thing is that John Adams and John Quincy Adams are also very skilled writers, so they're highly quotable.
John Adams.
So they're worth reading.
John Adams could have been a novelist. In his diaries, some of the descriptions of the people he's come across are amazing. And I don't want to end the show without giving you a quotation from the very quotable John Quincy Adams, who never gets quoted. But on the subject of democracy, he said that he likened democracy to oxygen. Vital air, but combustible when combined with other elements. And that's kind of encapsulates the theme of this book, and also why this father and son should not be either looked down upon, thought of as aristocrats, but that they had a lifetime of experience that we can learn from, and a range of political theories and political ideas that still speak to us today.
And I would say, and some, it seems from the conversation, some particularly keen insights into our form of government from people who were there at the very beginning when it was in stem cell form. So it's all the more interesting, I think. I agree with you. I'm a writer of historical biographies, but I do think that when academics can write on a popular level, it's just a gigantic blessing, because we need books like this. Because getting back to, you know, what you said about the town hall, I think if we don't have a dramatically informed populace, the whole thing goes kablooey. It's a miracle to me that it hasn't already evaporated, because we've ceased to teach civics. We just don't do that anymore.
Yeah. And this is, again, why the Adamses are good for us, because they weren't in favor of big government or small government. They were in favor of smart government.
And good government.
Good government.
And the other thing, I think that they are the importance of writing that you're talking about, and yes, the importance of communication. This is something that academics often are just talking to each other. And you have to have, I mean, I think it is like the town meeting. You have to have these issues get out in the ether and reach people, just among a small group of academics.
I couldn't agree more, and it's quite literally why I do this program. So thank you so much. This has been terrific. Folks, the book is The Problem of Democracy. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Thanks for listening, and thank you both.
Thank you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.